This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Game five tomorrow night. Interesting, we were just talking about Josh Naylor during the break. Anyway, game five coming up tomorrow night. 216-474-0092. What a day yesterday was. Guys, this had, and hey, we're not technically out of the woods yet. There's a game five. This had the makings of maybe the worst sports week that I could think of in a long time. Because think of it, guys. Like your football team, this is starting to become just an experiment to see whether or not the quarterback has anything at all in the tank whatsoever. And we are throwing up crazy ideas against the room. Lime and I are at odds, almost bickering with each other. I could sense a fight coming when you sent me Bill Simmons' audio, and I'm just sitting there going, any of us could say that. Any caller could say that. It wasn't even Bill Simmons. Because I was getting frustrated going, oh, yeah, Mike Vrabel will be the head coach of the Browns. You think Mike Vrabel sees any of this and wants to be a part of that? Hell no. He just left something like that. He just got fired from something like that. He don't want to deal with any of that. And see, like, I start the complaint already about the team that is supposed to play on Sunday when I got a team that's playing tomorrow night. I'm going, man, this could have been one of the worst weeks ever. And it still possibly could be because we do have Saturday and Sunday coming around. But, man, last night was awesome.
You feel like,
God, it was awesome last night.
You feel like a new lease on life. Like, when you win a game like that and then you add to it with the theatrics, the incredible safety squeeze to just add to it, and then Clase comes in, dominates. You got a Jose Ramirez home run, and Kwan is basically getting on base, it seems like, in every at-bat. Fry is heroic. Like, when that stuff starts to happen, do you allow yourself to get really crazy about all this, or are you kind of on pins and needles for tomorrow night knowing who you're going up against?
I'm excited right now because it's 7 in the morning after they won the game. I will be on pins and needles tomorrow night.
It's going to be a long-ass day on Saturday.
I do not wish this. I know it's a primetime game, and it should be a primetime game. Guys, you got to be with me on this. I wish they were playing at 1 o'clock tomorrow. I hate waiting around all day long. I hate this. I really wish the Royals would have won last night. I really do, because then it would have put us in the afternoon, and I would have known, and we would have been here earlier.
So instead it pushes this to 8:08. At least, yeah. I'll tell you one thing. At least we're not worrying about shadows and sun. That's been a huge factor in these early games, over there, especially the Cleveland games, the first game in Detroit. We're just going to get normal baseball under the lights now.
216-474-0092. I want to get to some of you guys coming up here in just a moment. Stephen Vogt, this has been when they were down 3-2, it was a comedy of errors for people in this series. And I was looking at my phone, and I was trying not to react to people on my phone because there were plenty of people going, this series is over. They suck. They're terrible. Well, it is baseball, guys. And I learned my lesson a long time ago. To react negatively in real time is always going to bite you in the ass when it comes to baseball. Hell, there are people still giving me guff over questioning Jose Ramirez and just wanting him to do better yesterday. And then he hit the home run. You always get a second chance at baseball. Dad always said. And last night, watching all this play out, there were so many things where I finally threw my hands up, Anthony. I go, can he just get lucky? Can he just, like, the Hunter Gaddis stuff, and then he brings out Tim Herron. I'm going, man, this guy already doesn't have, like, the first pitch he threw, I go, I'm already uncomfortable with him. Get him the hell out of there. And I'm thinking, can he just get lucky with a decision? And yet we played the audio of David Fry when Stephen Vogt comes up there and says, hey, can you put down a bunt? And you mentioned it yourself. If they lose that game last night and they're out of the postseason after this run, he seems like a deranged, psychotic, panicked, desperate man.
Desperate, yes.
Trying to find anything he can to extend the lead.
Might have been desperate. I mean,
and may very well have been all those things.
He had seen his lineup be befuddled for 20 innings, and he had seen his best player just frustration around every turn.
When I got David Fry saying he hasn't laid down a bunt high school, and he lays down not just any bunt, basically a stones on perfect bunt to bring home Brian Rocchio. I'm okay with saying, hey, got a little bit of luck went a long way. David Fry, who can't play catcher right now because of that arm, who comes up and pinch hits, who puts us ahead with the home run, who then lays down not just any bunt, the perfect bunt. I go, man, it's finally about time. Stephen Vogt's been a good manager all year long. Yes, A.J. Hinch is a better, more experienced manager. That is not a knock on Stephen Fry. Hopefully someday, Stephen Fry, 10 years from now, or Stephen Vogt, 10 years from now, will be the manager for the Cleveland Guardians, and he will be in that position where he's the one pressing all the right buttons, and it looks like he's manipulating the other manager. I can hope and pray. I'm going, man, can we just get one thing to go our effing way one moment? Just please, please, can I get one decision that he makes that doesn't come back and ends up being horrific for us that we all just get mad for? And last night, finally, it happened. So for Stephen Vogt, I feel great for him after that. And we got a game 5 coming up, and anything can happen on Saturday, and he could end up looking like the biggest idiot in the world again. I got all that. But damn it, I was very happy for him being able to do that. Vogt spoke about it yesterday and did speak about David Fry coming up in the big moment.
David has been very good versus right-handed pitching, and Bo Brisky's pitched really well against us all year. But for us in that moment, we wanted to get the matchup. David Fry's one of the best baseball players in this league. He's just a baseball player. He pinch hit off the bench, home run, gets a safety squeeze down, game on the line. Just can't say enough about what David has meant to us this year.
A legitimate all-star. I know that he cooled off in the second half. We were all critical of it. I think that there's, again, an injury that they don't really talk about injuries over there at the corner of Carnegie in Ontario. But, I mean, he's not catching for a reason. And since he adds offense to it, like Hedges is great at calling a game. Bo Naylor, I think, is just kind of up there guessing in both behind the dish and at the plate.
Oh, yeah.
With David Fry, he could do so much more, but he's doing as much as he can. And I have to commend him for it, and I have to commend Stephen Vogt for putting him in that position. 216-474-0092. Shannon in Charlotte, North Carolina, listening on the free Odyssey app. Go ahead, Shannon.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. That game last night was awesome. And if you watched it, it kind of echoed Major League when Clase came in and struck out that last Tigers batter with 101 on the gun. It was just like Wild Thing coming in and striking out Clue Hayward. And then the only thing missing from the squeeze last night was David Fry doing the point to the bleachers and then laying down the bunt. But it was an almost exact echo of the end of Major League.
Well, hopefully it ends better, because remember that they said when they came back in Major League 2 that the White Sox had swept them out of the American League Championship Series. I'm like, oh, come on. You don't need to throw that at. Shannon, thank you very much for the call. I think you're dead on about that. Let me get to Anthony in Cleveland Heights. Anthony, good morning.
Hey, guys. So, I don't know if you mentioned it, but one of the baseball playoffs are so great. Fry was one of the guys who grounded into a double play in game 2.
That's true.
In Cleveland.
That's true. Yes.
So,
yes.
So it was just great to see him hit the home run and the squeeze, as you indicated. There was a seventh inning play by Rocchio. Meadows hit it, and it could have been problematic because it was in a no man's land in short left field that I thought, he called up Ramirez, and that could have been fraught with trouble. So that was an unsung play. The other thing I'll throw out is Gattis and Cade back-to-back like that, or it was Cade and Gattis, is tough for them because Cade pounds the strike zone, and they couldn't catch up to that. And then if you notice, Gattis, he pitched extremely well because his pitches were all around the edges for the most part. I mean, he had the one walk, but that's going to happen when you're pitching the edges. So that is a tough back-to-back for Tigers hitters to go.
Let me ask you this. Did you believe that Herron should have came out before Gattis? And Gattis should have set it up.
Herron's a bit of a problem. His pitches were flat. That's why I don't think he got much leash last night because he was not looking good, I don't think. That's my opinion. I'd like to know what the experts say, you know, today. But to me, his pitches were like they were teeing up on him, I thought. And they didn't have – the other thing is he had no whiffs. There were no whiffs in his seven pitches, which is not a good sign.
Yeah.
The last thing I'll say is here's the thing. So I listen or watch to probably 160 games this year. The Guardians are my favorite team. If somebody would have told me before the season started, Bieber would be out immediately, McKenzie would go to the minors, Logan Anglin would go to the minors, three of your pitchers are going to be Matt Boyd, Ben Lively, and Alex Cobb. You're going to win 92 games. You're going to win the division, and game five of the ALDS is going to be at home. Would you take that regardless of
yes.
the result?
Yes.
No sane person would say no. So the result Saturday, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but we getting what we wanted, period. So whatever happens Saturday happens. Go there, be loud, and be a Guardians fan. And if it doesn't break our way, there's always next year.
That's why I like taking calls, because they always get us into topics. Thank you very much for the call. I don't want to ask it now because I'm still basking in the glow, but you know what I'm thinking for like later on today, and maybe at 8:20, maybe at 8:45. What they would have to do on Saturday to make it considered to be magical, to make it to consider to be great. Would they have to do something like that? I don't know. Don't answer it yet. It's still too early. I don't want to answer that yet. Let me get back to the phones here. Peter in Perrysburg. Go ahead. Got to go quick, but go ahead.
Oh, how exciting was that game? When David Fry hit that home run, I jumped off of my chair and yelled so loud that my neighbor texted me and told me I woke up his baby. Like, it was that... And I told him to kick rocks. He's a Chiefs fan. I've heard him yell through the wall. Like, so that was so exciting. And everyone was so negative and so dour after game three. And, like, I get it, but, like, the season wasn't over, guys. I had to keep tweeting people links to Lenny Kravitz, "It ain't over till it's over," because it's like, we still got games. We got to play. We got to fight. And now we're coming home. It's going to be super loud. The game's at 8, so hopefully my older parents maybe slide me the tickets because 8 o'clock's a little past their bedtime. But, man, that place is going to be rocking, and downtown Cleveland is going to be drunk all day on Saturday.
Hopefully.
I'm so jealous.
And safely is good times after the Guardians win. We go to a Game 5 tomorrow night, 8 p.m. at the corner of Carnegie and Ontario. And to talk about it, we welcome in Todd Derry, one half of the Derry Brothers Guardians cast. He hosts it with his brother, if you didn't know that, Matt Derry. But Todd Derry joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You can listen to the Derry Brothers Guardians cast on the free Odyssey app. Find links to it, 923thefan.com. Todd, how the hell are you this morning?
Oh, fantastic. I guess bunting isn't for losers after all, Kenny.
Boy, this has changed so much here. Over, like, we're begging for bunts the other day or yesterday. And then David Fry, who hasn't bunted since high school, he says, comes up there and doesn't just lay down any bunt, lays down the perfect bunt here, Todd. Sometimes, like, you just, it's skill, clearly, but some things just have to go your way where you're living right when you're playing at this level of baseball. Is it true?
I think that Tony said it earlier, Tone, I got to give you credit. You said it's amazing how much of a genius your manager looks like when your star players actually do what they're supposed to do and deliver. And that's what happened. I mean, we've been begging Jose Ramirez to do something, and he did it. David Fry has been terrible. You know, other than that one swing, he's looked terrible. And in the biggest spot of the series, he delivered. And again, and then when you send him up there to bunt, It's like A.J. Hinch, all the things were working for him, and then yesterday, because his team was executing and getting him on, getting him over, and getting him in, and yesterday, Stephen Vogt was pulling all the right strings because his players did it.
Well, that's what we're just laughing about, how much we just play the outcomes on this stuff, because can you imagine if the safety squeeze doesn't work out with Jose Ramirez coming up next, and if you know, once Rocchio's gunned down at home, like what we're saying about this, especially after the game where we played the audio and Fry's like, yeah, Skip came up to me and was like, hey, can you put down a bunt? Like, we would be crucifying the manager. Instead, today, it's like, yeah, we got our mojo back, and now we're feeling good, and we're riding the momentum going into Game 5.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just go back to Game 3. He pinch hits John Kenzie Noel for Will Brennan in the second inning, and if Noel hits a three-run homer, we're all saying, man, what a genius move by Vogt. But he didn't, and then you're like, how could he pinch hit in the second inning for Will Brennan so early? So, yeah, it really is truly results over process in these big moments sometimes, for sure.
Todd Derry joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How big was it for Jose to get the home run yesterday? It's very difficult to criticize him. And there were people who wanted us to criticize him, and then we got killed by some people for criticizing him because he hadn't shown up in this series. How big was that home run?
I still come back to, if they're going to win this series, your star players have to do it, and he's your star player. And you could see the frustration on his face. He is usually the same no matter what, but you could see him getting frustrated. And for him to have, you know, that first inning at bat, he ripped that ball down the line and it was just foul. And then he ended up popping out and you know, he was obviously very frustrated. But my brother said it on the pod the last time. He hits from the right side at Comerica Park in his career unbelievably well. And that homer was from the right side. I don't think he lacks for confidence. This is not a guy that's you know, not confident in his abilities, but it's natural when you're in a skid to press. And these guys were all pressing. And I think they were all every time coming up trying to hit 10-run homers. You know what I mean? But in the end, he's got to be the guy that carries the offense. And it wasn't a coincidence that they weren't scoring, because he and Josh Naylor, for that matter, hadn't been doing much in this series.
What did you think of Bibee yesterday? He got out of that jam. I mean, the announcers, they were all over the meeting. Earlier in the game when, you know, he had to be taught.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Talk to and whether that changed things, got out of that huge bases loaded no out jam, which was amazing. Huge gaffe by Detroit as well. So overall, what'd you think?
You know, it's interesting because in a normal situation, you'd probably still like let him continue on. But there is no margin for error. And when you have the big four, you are willing to go out and send them out earlier. He was fine. I mean, here's the thing. I love Tanner Bibee. I love his demeanor. I love that he wants that ball. He gets pissed when he gets taken out of games. He's very fiery. He's the leader of the staff. In the end, he did what he needed to do. And the bullpen was, you know, nails once again. But it also comes down to, you know, take away from the pitching. We had been talking about this on the pod after each game. You know, going into yesterday's game, they scored 7 runs. 5 of them were in one inning. If the offense could give him some more run support, that would certainly help. But I think when he got out of that jam with the that really helped things out.
We have the benefit of hindsight, so you can say, well, we don't want to put him in there at all. Would you have gone Heron, though, before Gattis, or would you really have maybe gone like Sobrowski and no Tim Heron?
I will say this about Tim Heron. Right now, I think he is really scuffling. I think that this is something that we don't talk about. These guys, these big four pitchers, three of the four are rookies and have never pitched this many appearances in their career. I think Aaron's starting to wear down a little bit, but you got to go with the guys that have gotten you here. I mean, imagine he all of a sudden, I'm a huge Eric Ciprowski fan. I think Andrew Walters next year, you're going to see, is going to have like a Cade Smith type impact on this bullpen. But I think Aaron's wearing down a little bit, but it just comes back again to, you know, the results. If you go to Ciprowski and he completely blows up, you're like, well, why wouldn't he have gone to Aaron? He's done that all year. So I do think, while I do think Aaron is wearing down a little bit, you got to continue on until he shows you, you know, that he's, you know, blowing up a little bit. And he had the quick hook. Remember, these guys got to face three batters no matter what when they come in. So, you know, you don't have a choice there. But Vogt's handled his bullpen masterfully all year. And I think that, you know, you got to continue to do what you've been doing all year in, you know, in balancing that bullpen out for sure.
So you believe it was the right decision after Cade Smith to go with Hunter Gaddis, then Heron, or would you have switched them reverse?
Looking at the lineup the way it was, he was saving Heron for the, you know, for the lefties at the top. So I understood why he was doing it. And you got to remember, Kerry Carpenter got hurt and we didn't even realize it. So at the time, so I was fine with it. And it's these guys, Gaddis has been so good all year. And I think he was trying to make sure that he had Heron up for those key lefties at the top. So he really could pull. The goal is to get, we've been watching all series, AJ Hinch managing that, his, not only his pitching staff, but his lineup to where he's taking advantage of those splits and he's trying to have a right-handed bat up against Heron rather than Heron coming in for the lefties. And for some reason, you know, he's obviously willing to pull whoever the same way, you know, pull his lefties for right-handed bats. He's got Malloy and he's got Andy Ibañez. It's almost like the same exact situation that we have with Noel and Fry for Manzardo and Brennan. So I was fine with it. I was totally fine with it. And you know what else? Why I was fine with it? Because it worked. No, it's true. But it's true. If it didn't work, we'd be like, why did he do that? That's the truth.
So in that case,
I love that. At least he admitted it, right?
So in that, yes. Do you think we've been too hard on Stephen Vogt then as a fan base, or has it been blamed all on him?
Okay, so I think that AJ Hinch managed circles around him in games 2 and 3. I think that, as I said this on the pod, I said this with Spencer earlier in the week. On my way home from the game, I was at the game on Wednesday in Detroit, and I just said, I can't understand how Hinch continues to set these traps and Vogt keeps stepping into them. I think he learned from his mistakes. You noticed he let Manzardo hit as much as he possibly could. It didn't matter. And Brennan facing lefty, you know, it didn't matter. I think he needs to go back to saving those splits for later in the game or the key spots when it matters. I think he overplayed his hand in game 3 and he learned from his mistakes. Listen, he's a rookie manager. You know, he's never been in this situation before. He's still learning on the fly, but he's trusting his gut and he's playing the numbers in a combination of moves yesterday. So I am not, if they were to lose to Skubal in game 5, and this is the end of the season, am I going to sit here and go, oh, Stephen Vogt, he doesn't know what he's, of course not. Did any of us see this coming at the beginning of the year, winning this division and getting into the playoffs the way they have? I mean, he's going to win manager of the year for a reason. So I can't get mad at him. No, I will not blame him at all.
Todd Derry on the hotline, Derry Brothers Guardians cast. As we look to Saturday night, it's Skubal. First of all, do you believe in momentum, or are you just as good as, you know, who you got throwing on that given day in a playoff series?
There's definitely momentum. I think that, you know, if the situations were, you know, the situations were reversed and it was 2-2 and the Tigers had won that game coming back to Cleveland, you'd feel a lot more nervous. I think this morning we all woke up feeling a little more pep in our step and a little bit more confident in those abilities to win that game. Our crowd is going to, I will say this. I was at Wednesday's game in Detroit and my brother can back this up because we were there. The crowd Wednesday was weak. I thought we were going to walk in in our Guardians gear, getting heckled, and the crowd would just be in a fever pitch, especially when they jumped out, you know, to an early lead. It was like a sold out regular season game, and the crowd was not that crazy. Now, I've been to both games at Progressive Field. I think game one was great. Game two was pretty good, but game two was so nerve wracking, and we were all just edge of our seat because of Scooble. I think it's going to be that way too. I mean, you guys know there is nothing better than playoff baseball, but you are biting your nails. You are clenching those cheeks, and, you know, and you're like, yikes, every pitch feels like the end of the world. But I do believe in the momentum, and the fact that they didn't lose technically to Scooble in game one or in game two, they had base runners. They just grounded into back-to-back double plays in the fifth and sixth innings and bailed him out. I also think it helps when you've seen him so recently. You know what's coming. I know he's the best pitcher in the game. But I think your approach that you will see, they were swinging at all these first pitches that first time. I think they're going to be working counts more. His pitch count was so low early in that game that it was giving him the ability. He could have come out for the eighth. He was under 100 pitches. So I think they'll work counts more, and they'll do their best to try to get him out as quickly as
possible. Would you make any changes in the lineup from what they did in that opener?
I would have Brennan out there instead of Noel, and I would save Noel for later. Noel's not seeing the ball very well. I haven't seen good at-bats from him at all. You know, we all fell in love with John Kenzie, you know, me included, because of the big home runs. But if you look back from his numbers from the beginning of September, he hasn't hit a home run in weeks. The at-bats are weak. There's something with Will Brennan in the contact. I would have him out there. That would be the only thing I would do. And then I like having Brian Rocchio higher up in the order and dropping Andrés Giménez down the order. I mean, Andrés did finally have the one where he got robbed by Cole Keith, which I thought was going to turn out to be a bigger play, but luckily Fry laid down that bunt and got that fifth run in. But Rocchio's been seeing the ball so unbelievably well. I would almost move him above Andrés and see, you know, because really when you get to the catching position, I mean, luckily Rocchio's hitting. Catching position and Andrés and Giménez have been automatic outs this entire playoffs and for weeks before that. So Rocchio and Brennan, Rocchio moving up, Brennan in for Noel. That's what I'd be doing.
Todd, you're one. I've only done that once. Todd, thank you very much for the time. You know we love you. We'll talk to you again soon. And, of course, everybody listen to the podcast. I'll tell them where to get it here in a second. Todd, take care.
Let me just say one more quick thing. Mitch texted me and said, if we win Friday. I said, when we win, Mitch, I'll be there Friday morning for the boys.
Did Mitch write we in the text?
I don't believe he wrote we.
Okay.
He did not write we.
He should write either they or you. He should not write we when it comes to Mitch.
He did not say we. Okay. Mitch is nothing but a professional.
All right. Thank you very much for the time, Todd. We appreciate it.
Anytime, boys.
Todd Derry, Derry Brothers Guardians Cast on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Get that Guardians Cast. Get that podcast wherever you get your podcast, especially on the free Odyssey app. It's wonderful. You want to hear everything, Gardos? They got it. They're wonderful.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, Kenny. I was really annoyed yesterday when the Yankees won their game. And that reason is twofold. I didn't want them getting to set up, you know, what they were going to do for potential game one as we are looking forward to what could be an ALCS if we can get things taken care of. But also the fact that now instead of the great doubleheader I was looking forward to on Saturday, which was Guardians and their matchup.
4:30.
At 4:30, which is what was originally on the schedule for game five of this series. And then Ohio State, Oregon. I think coverage starts at 7:30. Yeah. When is actually kickoff?
I'm not sure.
So I was like, man, that is going to be awesome. Well, now they're both at the exact same time,
on
basically.
Peacock, whenever they decide is kickoff is when they're going to kick off.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I know, Kenny, you as a Michigan fan, you might have been
hate watching. I'm not a Michigan fan. You need to stop this.
You might have been hate watching Ohio State.
Did you see the picture of me and my friends on our ninth grade field trip to New York City, December 2000?
I never doubted your old roots.
Did you see my Woody hat?
I did.
See my Woody hat? Everybody thought I was wearing JNCO jeans. Those are not JNCO jeans,
what
folks.
What were they?
Those are Wrangler.
Really?
Those are Wrangler jeans, absolutely. That was, and by the way, for those asking, that was actually after my drug mule days. I was just getting out of the drug mule days.
Well, you had seen the light.
Yeah, I told you. I read that card, my birthday card from my grandparents.
Reformed.
I started crying.
Yeah.
I said, I got to change my ways.
All right, so what is the setup situation, do you think, for most people on Saturday if they can't score a ticket, if they're not going to be downtown?
The vaunted double feature that you can get with Extend Technologies, but I don't want this to sound like a live read, even though it's dangerously close. I think you watch both at the same time. Can I pull a switcheroo on you and turn this into my problem?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to go to dinner in Youngstown on Saturday.
Oh, my God. There's no way.
And because...
Well, what time are your dinner? My dinners are like 5 now, so what time are your dinners?
It's probably going to be about 7.
You can't do it. Yeah, you can't. You can't, unless your dinner is at a bar that has the TVs.
Well, I'm not going to tell you where. I got to admit to you, the last time I went, we were coming in hot. Actually, I was coming in on fire. So I'm not really sure exactly if there is a television at this restaurant that we're going to. I'm
was
not
that
sure.
Was that my infamous POW night?
I was actually, you know what? I actually needed to be put out more than you did that night. Yeah, we were. I was Fireball Roberts that day, boy. It was tough. Yes. So I got to figure out what I'm going to do, because before it was like, I ain't going to lie to you guys. Like, I'm not one of those guys like, I got to watch the game no matter what at the moment. Like when it was Ohio State, and go,
yeah,
all right,
for college football.
Yeah, I'll watch back on Peacock. But almost everything is rewatchable now in college football. I was like, I can go back and watch on Peacock on Sunday or Monday.
Well,
on Sunday,
just
it doesn't matter.
Ohio State hasn't played a game that's mattered yet.
Yeah.
I mean, they just really haven't. Maybe the first half you could say against Iowa, all right, let's see how they do against a good defense, and you were not thrilled about how it looked. But overall, you never thought that game was in doubt. You never thought they could lose. This game, they could lose. I mean, I think Ohio State will win. There's some rumors about Oregon's best defensive player maybe not being able to go. This is a game that you want to win. In the playoff format, it's not a necessity. Guardians Game 5 is a necessity. That is you must watch every pitch.
Yes.
That's the hard thing about pairing up anything with playoff baseball.
So
is
I'm
it's
get
tough to
out.
Look away at any point.
I'm
going to
get cussed out. Because I'm going to a place, I think I know where I'm going. I think there might be some TVs. I'm going to end up at the bar. I'm not going to be sitting with them. That ain't going to happen.
You will. You would end up at the bar. There's no way you're going to be sitting down in the middle of a crowded restaurant not being able to have access to the games.
I love the people in Youngstown, but it ain't going to happen. So I have to do what I have to do.
Yeah, I don't think you can do game 5 on the DVR, the go-home game on the DVR at all.
Boy,
and it really sucks the biggest college football game
that
in these
Ohio
parts.
State has had, yeah.
If they lose that game, I'll never hear the end of it. Like, if I'm allowed to do these things, clearly. But if they lose these games, then it's like, what did you do all this for?
Right.
Why did you separate yourself from our friends and family for a loss?
So, it's a must win then for you.
Oh, in so many ways, yes.
Right.
For Ken.
Because
specifically.
I'd be sad if they lost, and then I'm going to hear about it for umpteen years if they lose. So, they better win. By the way, somebody asked me on Twitter, CLE Sports Twist asked, yes, it's both, or she, I'm not sure. Who would you go with at catcher for game 5, Hedges or Bo Naylor? It's got to be Hedges. They said they thought it was Hedges. I had to completely agree. If both guys are going to struggle at the plate, I need the defense.
You want the guy,
plus,
yeah.
There's an on-field leadership that he has that you can't deny. I'd rather have him out there. Yeah. He just looked, when they had the pitch com thing going out, when Emmanuel Clase was in the ninth inning, or the eighth inning, it's like, this guy's in command. This guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
I just feel so much more secure with
Austin
Hedges.
I like the way he celebrated, too, on the last pitch yesterday.
Yeah.
There was an extra little oomph, an extra little fired up where you're like, there's nothing better, by the way, when the closer comes in and just knocks him down, that cockiness comes back. That's why it was so good to see Class A look absolutely dominant again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.